On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
What have you picked up late in life?
Have you gone to war with the council?
And Roger Hodgson from Supertram.
Legend.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. The Big Breakfast Catch-Up is for ABC Blind Style Up for Spring Sale.
Now, guys, it's exam time. There's kids at school trying to plan their future.
Yes.
Thinking about what they want to be. But the reality is, even though you can plan, things change.
Yep.
As you get older, your interests change, things you want to do change. And it gets to the point sometimes where people go, I think I'd like to do something different, but I'm too old.
Okay.
You know?
Because you can get distracted through a lot of time, raising kids or whatever you might be up to, and things you can put things on the back burner as well if it's a passion of yours.
Yeah, it's hard work. You know, my sister's just gone back to school. She's 40 and gone, yep, I'm going to go back and learn to become a teacher and
good
started studying. It takes a bit of guts to go and try something different.
It does. I remember my pop, he was 84. He lived to 92, and at 84 he decided he wanted to learn to paint.
Oh, cool.
So he went to a night tech class and learned to paint.
Painting classes.
It's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's why I was super proud of my friend Deb. She's a very dear friend of mine. Mm. And Deb's just turned 60. I hope she doesn't mind me saying that.
Too late.
But she's sassy. It's okay. And Deb's gone and got herself as the front singer in a band.
Yeah.
Oh,
the lead singer in a band.
It's like a rock star.
She's just gone and need to be a rock star. And I wanted to talk to Deb and find out what made her go back and have a crack at something later in life. G'day, Deb. How are you this morning?
Hello, you gorgeous girl. I am absolutely fantastic. Thank you.
Deb, I want to play a bit of audio of you at your gig. I went to your first gig last month with your band, Jackson Avenue. Here's a bit of Deb just up there stealing the stage.
Hey, morning, sassy.
Yeah.
Claire and Matt here as well. Deb, how are you?
Fabulous. I'm really well and really excited to tell you about this mad little journey that I've embarked upon. It's something that I've always wanted to do, to be in a band, and this is great because the guys that I'm with are really quite special. And so we're members of the Jackson Avenue band, and they are colleagues of mine from school. And one of the best things is that our groovy principal, Chris Booth, is one of the singers and guitar players, so you see him in a totally different light. And Keith, who organises everything, is just magnificent.
So,
but
Deb,
for you personally, Deb, was it, you know, did you just feel like it was time to start trashing some hotel rooms, or was there just a burning desire to get up there?
Matt, you are so on to me. I just love it. I've always loved singing, and being able to perform as a teacher, you've always performed. But being able to just get up there with people who you really enjoy and just get stuck into some songs that are just fabulous and make you feel happy, why wouldn't you do it?
Sure.
Great.
Deb, have you got some tips for our rock star performers? Because they're performing on Friday night for the first time, and it takes a bit of courage to get up and do it for the first time.
It does. Do you know what? It's just a belief in yourself and a belief in just loving what you're doing, and just get up there and just give it your best. And it's just a great thing to do. Singing makes you feel great.
Was there a little bit of terror, though, for you, Deb? Because that's what rockstar contestants will be feeling a little on Friday.
Oh, yeah, there's always a bit of terror. But if you're well prepared and you've got really good people supporting you and you know what's happening within your band or within, you've got a very professional band supporting these guys. So it's just having that faith and thinking, you know what, this is an opportunity. Just go for it.
Oh, you're a bloody inspiration.
Oh,
yeah, and by the way, your good mate here gave you your age on the radio to all of Perth.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah. You know what? That doesn't bother me because, you know, 60 is fabulous. It's very invigorating. I've been doing mad things. I've been doing some modelling at Maya. I've been doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Really?
And I have just had the time of my life.
Good on you, Deb.
A little bit dangerous.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Marie from Roxette.
Thank you, Deb.
On you, Deb.
My pleasure.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
It's not too late to have a crack at something new.
Never too late.
No, you know, you've got to, life is busy, but sometimes you just finally find that moment where you think, I've always wanted to do this for myself and now I'm going to.
You see, the 90-something, you know, 90-something's doing, you know, jumping out of a plane or, you know, that kind of thing.
And,
you know,
many people would say that is actually the secret to a healthy life, is to always be learning something new.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of writing about that,
Well, we want to know what you have had a crack at later in life. 133353. Linda from Iluka, what did you do?
Hi, guys. When I was about 38, 39, I took up karate.
Yeah. Oh, right. Cool.
Yeah.
Wax on.
And just before my 50th birthday, I got my first black belt.
Oh,
congrats.
Nice.
And 2 years later, I got my first Dan.
Oh, that is very, very cool.
So what got you into karate, Linda?
Somebody came to the door knocking to try to get people to join the club, you know, for their kids, families to go and do karate. And I thought, oh, you know, a bit of self-defense probably wouldn't go astray for a woman. And I went and loved it, and I ended up doing the sensei training course and was a sensei in the last couple of years there. And,
good on you, cool. Linda. Now you're registered as a lethal weapon.
I am. And all my friends say they like to go out with me because I'm like the bodyguard.
You can look after them. And it's all about respect and all the rest of it, isn't it? You know, when people go, oh, are you going to start fights? Everyone goes, no, it's self-defense, isn't it? It's all about stopping it.
And people look at me, and if I say, oh, yeah, I've got a black belt in karate, they can't believe it when they look at me.
And Linda, no doubt, apart from feeling more confident in being able to protect yourself, you feel fitter, stronger than you obviously did before?
Oh, definitely, It does take a bit of a toll, though, on your body as you get older. But there are a lot of older people doing karate these days. You'd be surprised, actually. We had some even older than me.
Good on you.
You know, up there as well. So,
nicely done, Linda. Well achieved.
I've got a friend who's 40-odd, about 40, who does self-defense. How are your shoulders, Linda?
The shoulders aren't too bad. It was more my knees and hips. Ankles that take a little bit of
It's a lot of work if you're going to pass, especially if you're the first and level. That's pretty extreme.
You're looking at like 3-hour grading.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, Linda.
Who is this Dan? Hey, let's go to Belmont. Adam, what did you take up later in life?
Bit of a technical difficulty.
Oh, here we go.
There
Adam.
We go.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. How are you going?
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Good.
Well, not long ago, I was working for an employer and I had been flogging myself like a dead horse.
Yeah.
In fact, I was actually working harder than Matt's raid call yesterday.
That was a lot of hard work.
my one of my previous bosses turned around and said, listen, you've been working really hard. Why don't you take Friday off? You know, have a long weekend. Mm. And I woke up on the Friday and I thought, you know, hot diggity, what am I going to do? You know, I got nothing to do. And then I just decided I'm going to go and learn to fly.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I went out to Jandakot Airport and by 11 o'clock that morning I had my first flying lesson, and I kid you not, I could have crapped enough bricks to land.
At least you're honest.
And where are you at now?
I've got my restricted pilot's license.
Well done.
And then a couple of weeks after that, I went and brought a flute and a sax, and now I'm not concert level, but I can hold my own and I can play quite well.
Excellent.
Good on you, Adam.
Could you learn four languages before Christmas, Adam? Just an achiever.
Well, actually, I can speak a little bit of French. I can say croissant.
Oh, yes.
That's great, though, Adam. Going and getting your pilot's license just because you had a day off work, that is amazing. Great job.
And I can also tell you that I chose a career sea change a few years back, and I am very likely, just maybe before or after Christmas, to complete my mature age electrical apprenticeship.
Very nice. The sparky on top of it all.
Adam, well done. That's awesome.
I hope everyone's taking something out of this today just to maybe feel inspired.
Yeah, I feel like an idiot. Thanks, Adam. Well done. Have a good day. Let's go to Midland. And Phyllis is there, and Phyllis is going to be talking about, you know, those things that you can pick up later because it's never too late. G'day, Phyllis.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, thanks. Phyllis, what have you done?
45, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Right. Yeah.
And I was looking for exercises that I could do that I enjoy. And at 50, I took up pole dancing.
Fantastic.
Right.
It's hard work, Phyllis.
Yes, it's good. It's lots of fun.
Yeah. And how are you feeling now? How's things going?
I feel good because when I'm on the pole, I have no symptoms of Parkinson's, so I feel normal again, you know. It's sort of, I'm improving. I get a lot of strength out of it. So yeah.
That's amazing.
All the people I do it with are very supportive. It's great.
Oh, wonderful.
Good on you, Phyllis. Clarzy had a crack at pole dancing for a moment there. And
I did.
It was. He didn't do that well.
I didn't land. I actually did really well. Thank you very much. When I watch the video back, I'll send it to you.
I saw him at the Doll's House one night at about 3 a.m. He was great.
I had so many $5 notes in my undies.
Well done, Phyllis. That's great wonderful, advice. Phyllis. And great advice for people who might have Parkinson's and are looking for something different to do.
Oh, it's just... I have a lot of fun. You go upside down and...
Yeah, you try not to land on your head.
Bit rough with the old flexibility, but the strength in that, it's good. It sort of gives you good support.
Good on you, Phyllis.
Good on you, Phyllis.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, this morning... look, life is full of necessary evils, right? Yep. You know, fibre might be one of them. You know, maybe you don't want to have that bowl of cereal, but you know you have to.
Yeah, or getting out of bed and having to go to work if you're lucky enough to have a job.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess our local councils fall into that category.
Necessary evils.
If you're a homeowner and you get your rates bill and you're like, oh my God. But of course, we need our garbage taken away and all of those things that are necessary in life.
We need some sense of community working together.
Correct. But this morning we are asking, and we will take some calls if you have a story about when you've had a run-in with your council and how it's worked out. And this comes off the back of the City of Joondalup, which has ordered or told 650 property owners to modify their verges outside their homes. Because the city wants to establish greener areas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this comes, of course, now we all know, even those of us that don't own property, that the verge is not yours.
True.
Yeah, basically in front of your letterbox to the street is owned by the council.
That's the council. Yeah. But of course, many people look at it and go, well, it's looking a bit rough and ready.
Yeah.
It is the front of my house. I want it to look nice. So you do things to it.
It's going to look a bit strange if you've got half a patch of lawn. So you do. You put the retic in, you pay for the water and the mowing and whatever it might be.
Yeah. Now this chap, Philip Bolan, he's in Kingsley and he spent $12,000 brick paving his verge.
Yeah. Oh, right, yep.
And, of course, that's a lot of money, and I've seen a picture of it in the paper, and it looks like he's done a lovely job. It looks nice.
There was a story on the news or last night, and it does look good. I went, how much is that? 15, 20 grand? Yeah. Well, it's 12, is it?
And a corner block, too. Yeah. So it was a lot of paving down the side.
Yeah.
But, of course, he's now being asked to remove that. Because the city wants it to be more sort of greener with natives and whatnot. And he's saying, well, if you want water-wise, what could be more water-wise than something that doesn't need water?
Zero water. You just every now and then give it a sweep.
I do. But the science, I believe, is that the more places where rainfall can soak in is better.
Right. Okay.
So
yeah.
That the runoff that goes into the stormwater drains is actually going to waste. That's the thinking anyway. Mm. But that's a lot of money for Mr. Boland to have.
Oh, it certainly is.
But, yeah.
Well, we need these rules in place. I get it. And people, the first thing they'll say is, well, that's council land, so it's his fault for paving on it because they can do what they want with the
technically,
verge.
That's right, yeah.
But, I mean, having lived in the suburbs of Perth basically my whole life, I've born here, grew up here, so many people's verges are a disgrace.
Mm. Yeah.
And they are horrible. When I lived in my last house, I had to actually go to my neighbours and their verge, they lived on a corner block and they just let it go feral.
Yeah.
And it was so out of control. And I had to go and say to my neighbours, I found a used needle in the grass just to get them to mow the grass.
But you're telling neighbour to do that when it should be the council doing that.
But the council aren't driving around. This is it.
The
They're happy to drive around to go to people's houses and say, you're not doing the right thing. But they don't go to the people who go, excuse me, your verge is a mess.
The council
and
police
weeds.
It, but they don't maintain it.
They don't do anything about it. So I'm like, I feel for this guy because part of me goes, I get it, the council verge, it's not our responsibility. They're meant to do it. We can't do what we want with it.
They showed some photos, some pre-photos as well last night in the story, and Philip and his wife had trouble because it was it was all over the place, a bit messy like you see so many in the burbs, and it was all at different angles. So I think his wife fell over at one stage and had an accident when she was trying to get the bins out, and he had trouble getting the bins in. But it looked pretty scrappy before. I think that... it looks so much better. The council don't want that. Isn't that weird?
And also, who else is going to spend 12 grand to pave the front yard? Like, most people aren't doing the paving. Yeah. So if they think that that's making it really hot, it's actually really uncommon. I don't see that many of them.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We're talking about ratepayers versus council.
Yeah, City of Joondalup's told 650 property owners they need to modify their verges or change what they have modified on their verge because you're not really supposed to do it. This comes off the back of Philip Bolan spending $12,000 on brick paving his verge.
Yep.
And he's been told, no, you can't do that. You need to rip it up.
Oh, it's very expensive and a lot of work too. Mm. And a lot of stress. These people are stressed.
Also, so, is it just me or did that brick paving look like it's been there for ages?
I don't know. It was dirty.
It was, you know, like it was worn bricks. To me, that's been there more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good on the news last night. You could tell he'd spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, so we're asking, you know, when did you sort of have an interaction with the council and how it went? Peter's in Kingsley. G'day, Peter. How'd you go?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks.
Well, you're in Kingsley, not far from Philip, from the Bolans.
No, that's right. I put my paving down in March 15.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the rules changed in January 15.
Right.
And my discussions so far indicate that they want to pull up half of it and replace it with either grass or leave it as sand or wood chips or mulch. Now, to me, I want a blind corner, so it allows my kids to park away from the street, allowing my neighbours to be able to reverse with being able to look at the road. But it also looks nice, you know?
Yeah.
And they want sand and weeds and that sort of stuff. It's just nonsense. And surely our rates are better spent doing stuff for the community rather than going out and provoking 650 residents.
Well, especially the ones that I think are just doing what makes it easier for everyone anyway. They're normally the ones that have the neat verges.
Absolutely. And brick paving allows for the water to run off anyway because it leaks through the gap. So it just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter.
Really disappointing.
Yeah. Okay. And Peter, just before you go, mate, are they really quite vigilant in the way they're working here?
Oh, well, I'm still in negotiation with them, so I haven't finished. But, yeah, we'll see how we go.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Peter.
Good on you, Peter. Thank you for that.
See ya.
Annette's in Baldivis. Annette, have you had a run-in with the council?
Yeah, look, we've had the city of Rockingham is pretty crazy. So they do some pretty crazy stuff.
Mm.
And the latest thing that started last summer, particularly in Baldivis, is where where everyone's been told that they need to stop parking cars, caravans, you know, jet skis, etc., on any council property.
Right, now, okay.
That obviously affects corner blocks a lot because we've got a number of houses where if they've got a corner block, they've got boats and caravans and jet skis. You've got a lot of people that have got four-wheel drives that can't fit into your garage anymore.
Yeah.
The way they build houses, you can't actually park your car in the garage. So you're even getting a fine if cars are parked in your driveway. But if they, A, cross a footpath, or B, if it's you don't have a footpath but it's still on council land, they are fining people.
In that verge zone. Okay.
Mm. Mm. And there's some things that make sense.
Properties are getting smaller as well.
Yep. Yes.
Mm. So you're asked to put your belongings, shall we say, in a lot smaller spot.
Yes. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, but some of it will make sense. You know, if you've got caravans and boats and things parked on corners, then they are a visual problem. You know, people need to be able to drive and see safely. So I can see the issue with that. But, yeah, thanks, Annette.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I guess blocking the footpath, you know, it could be someone with a pram or whatnot or an older person with a mobility scooter. So you do need to keep that clear.
Yeah. Mm. Troubles with the council to Jarrodale. G'day, Mark. What's been your issue?
Yeah, guys, I've got a tree on my place that is, it's a huge old Jarrah tree. Sadly, it died. And it is a dead tree. Like, there is not a leaf on it. It is dead. It drops branches every now and again.
Gonski.
And they asked me to get an arborist report, which costs $500, to confirm that it's dead.
Yep.
And it's evidently dead. Like, there is no life on the tree. It drops stuff. It makes a mess. Like with the bark and stuff that falls off it, but it is a dead tree and they want me to spend $500. But I'm in real estate. If you guys wanted to do a story every single day, I could give you something that these clowns do.
Right.
It's either that or it's just some pedantic little guy. It's essentially like what I think actually happens is when people leave school, they say, were you really targeted at school? And they say, yeah, I was. And they say, we've got the perfect little haven for you here. You have all the power in the world, even though you're very weak.
Yes.
And look, it's one of those things. We know that we need rules, you know. Yes. We have to have rules. We can't just go vigilante.
Yes,
but
of course.
They make up the rule so they've got a reason to enforce it.
Oh, there you
go.
And
it's unbearable for people who are just trying to do things. You look at people trying to run a business, and they do a good job, and then the council will just go, oh, hang on a second, that doesn't fit in the guidelines. You go, who wrote the guidelines? We did.
Let's go and get the guideline person.
No. We'll do a hits
Mark.
From your hood in Jarrahdale, and we'll send Matt out there to as an arborist, do some tree reports.
I mean, it's the classic problem with bureaucracy, isn't it? Is that, you know, rules are so black and white, and life just doesn't fit into that.
Oh, God, no. Life's colour.
Yeah, we should send that chat from the good doctor over to Mark's place to see if he can declare it dead.
Sort it all out. Yeah.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber on your Big Breakfast morning. It's Mix 94.5, 7:52 as we do it this morning for ABC Blinds. Style up for spring. For a free measure and quote, head to abcblinds.com.au.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Supertramp, it is your Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber at 8:22. Breakfast in America, 40 years, the anniversary of that classic Supertramp album. And nearly 50 years since Roger Hodgson and Rick Davies put together Supertramp all those years ago.
Still sounds so good.
It is incredible. Now, Roger Hodgson has been solo for nearly, over 35 years, but Monday, February 4 at the Riverside Theatre at the PCEC, he will be playing live. Tickets from Ticketek. The boy from Portsmouth, from Charles Dickens territory, joins us on the line this morning. Roger Hodgson, welcome, mate. How are you?
Hello. I'm great, thank you. It's wonderful to be speaking with you.
Roger, you are forced to cram 40 years of hits into a night of performance. It can't be easy to choose which songs make the cut. Are there any indulgences in there for you, or do you have to give the fans what they want?
Oh, you know, it's the hardest decision I have, actually, each night, is what song not to play, because I'd like to play them all, but then we'd be there all night. I don't mind giving the people what they want, because I'm thoroughly enjoying singing these songs. You know, as you just said, I mean, 40 years plus some of them, but they've stood the test of time, and I adore singing them. So you'll be hearing The Logical Song and Breakfast in America and Give a Little Bit and Dreamer and Fool's Overture, School, and many more.
And Roger, I'm sure you're one of these people that doesn't like to say, you know, in my day things were better, but it seems to be with the music you were creating and the music that your contemporaries were creating at that time, incredibly free time, incredibly creative, where boundaries seemed to be, you know, far past the horizon. Did it feel that way in the middle of it?
Yes. Well, I was a teenager when the Beatles happened. I mean, the Beatles, to me, blasted the doors down in every direction. And they inspired me because they were taking risks upon risks. Every album was just an adventure in experimentation.
Mm.
And then, you know, John and to an extent Paul, I mean, then they put their heart and soul into it and started really singing about pretty vulnerable things and really became more real in a way.
Mm.
So they were very inspirational to me. And when I joined Rick and we formed Supertramp, they were my kind of mentors in a way in okay, let's see what I can do with Supertramp, what we can do. And so, you know, I think we left a pretty good legacy. But yes, music has changed a lot since then. It's got confused. I don't want to go there. We could talk for an hour.
Yeah.
But definitely, I was definitely part of a very magical time.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Roger, I just want to ask you about life is about taking opportunities. And there was a big one that came up when Rick Davies put that ad in Melody Maker all those years ago about an opportunity to take. You know, we're talking about that first self-titled album, 1970. Was there a time around there where you went, hey, we're onto a really good thing here? You realised you'd made it?
We went for a lot. It was tough. The first few years were really tough. It was actually interesting. There was a moment in time where I was kind of almost giving up. I felt like this is not going anywhere, you know, and I had a choice. I was either going to go to India or stick it out. And I'm glad I chose to stick it out, because Rick and I, we kind of changed the band and decided to come off the road. We lived off selling the equipment. And because I knew at that point, I had Dreamer, I had School, and I think he had the right too. I needed to get out. And that was really the turning point, that decision, when suddenly, you know, the record company took notice and we got the support that we needed.
Roger, I'm sure you've been asked this many, many times, but when you did your first studio single, Mr. Boyd, with the man we now know as Elton John, are you still in contact with him all these years later? Is he on your speed dial?
We keep on missing each other. It's ridiculous. We played Wembley Stadium together in honor of Princess Di, but uh-huh. We never got to meet then. So it's ironically enough, even from that one encounter when I was 19, we haven't met in person since.
Wow,
isn't that incredible? That is amazing. Roger, we're really looking forward to February for many reasons, but in particular to see you live, and we look forward to seeing you in Perth and hearing those songs.
Well, I hope all three. Well, you've got an early morning show, don't you? So I don't know whether you're going to be able to come.
Well, don't worry, mate. We'll be there.
That's
a Monday night for a Tuesday morning sacrifice. Well worth it to hear your fine self.
Okay, great. Well, I look forward to meeting all of you, and I can't wait to get there. I loved Perth last time, and the theatre's great, the people are great, so really looking forward to it.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
Guys, a sad story to kick the morning off. I'd like you to take your minds back 2 months ago to the Islamic cemetery at Tamali in Kazakhstan.
Sure.
Where a family had gathered to bury Agili Supiagaliev, whose badly burnt body had been found. And
I don't know who this person is, right?
No, you don't.
Just checking.
And unfortunately, okay, of course, unidentifiable, but through DNA they knew that... it was a 99.2% chance that it was Agali, and they buried him.
Aww.
So you can imagine their
surprise. I was worried you said Gilly at the start.
When 2 months later, Agili walked in the door.
No!
What?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back.
That's amazing.
He walked in the door.
That's unusual. Did he climb out of a grave? What happened there?
No, apparently he went for a walk and he was known to go for a bit of a wander.
Okay.
For a week or two. Yeah. And he found a bloke at the market who offered him a bit of work. So he went and did it for a couple of months.
He just didn't text anyone.
He didn't text anyone.
Out of Gilly, what are you doing?
The story doesn't answer the question of who the poor bugger was. Whose body was found.
I mean, they've thrown him quite the funeral and everyone's grief-stricken.
Absolutely. They're much happier now. But the authorities are saying, well, hang on, we stand by our claim that 99.2% match on the DNA.
Right.
Which does leave you to wonder how many people are languishing in prisons right now.
Yeah.
with that kind of stat. Because it sounds very impressive.
Yeah. Wow. The DNA is really can't be trusted.
Well, yes, because we had our DNA tested, didn't we?
We did.
They're making clones of us as we speak.
Oh no, there's already a Kimber clone out there. I saw it at the shops carrying up yesterday.
The potatoes. Just a potato
head.
God, imagine clones of us.
Yeah, she had great legs.
Just a potato on legs.
Spoke with legs.
That's it. That's enough. Potato on legs. We're out.
Older Gilly.
No, that's fine. That poor man.
By the way, I'm not preparing anything from now on.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
I'll tell you guys, I won't be eating any of those leftover burgers
today. Tell us why, Kimber.
Well, yesterday I didn't do the Melbourne Cup because I'm not into the horse part of the horse racing.
Sure.
And so I spent the day in the garden. I did so much work in the garden and I was really proud of myself.
Good for you.
And then I came into the house and then I ate everything I could see.
Right.
Everything. Right.
Is McGruff still with us?
He's still with us. Okay. That's only because he can run.
Oh, yeah.
Only because he can move.
So a hot dog would have
everything
gone
that couldn't move got eaten yesterday.
People who are wondering, Kimber's got bigger gardens than King's Park.
So what?
Well, you know,
was on
you're
the
just
menu?
In one of those zones. I mean, it wasn't all bad, but I had a salad roll, which was okay.
Was it sort of like good stuff. Lunchtime, the salad roll? Like,
yeah, lunchtime.
Just trying to think of the structure of your
started
meal.
Started with a salad roll with some tofu and some salad and stuff.
That's
everything
a great
was fine.
Start.
Right.
Sure.
Then I got a bit more into the garden. When I came back in, I had couple of pieces of pumpernickel bread. I had watermelon. Yep. I had blueberries, strawberries. I had
some healthy.
Yeah, I also had some sweet potato chips.
Right.
I had a bit of ice cream. There was ice cream in the freezer.
Okay, now we're getting interesting. Okay.
Ate two raw balls. I mean, honestly, like I just annihilated everything I could find.
So you were going sort of healthy, unhealthy like that?
I don't know. I was just eating anything that was edible.
It's like a game of snakes and ladders only with food.
But the worst thing is I've got to go to my HBF fitness class tonight.
Oh, it's great preparation.
Well,
ideal prep.
I feel really sluggish, but now I know that I have to work extra hard at the class.
Yeah.
Because I've been, you know, doing this training with them for three weeks.
I have been telling you Mix 94.5 is a partner of HBF Fitness.
Well, yeah, because they said, which one of you is going to do it? Yeah. And I'm the biggest chump. And so I said, sure. And so I've been going to the training sessions. I've done two. This is my third one tonight. And I've actually had a really good time at them, except I'm going in at my, like, heavyweight tonight. Like I'm going, if this was a championship, I'm ready to go. I'm prepped.
Well, I've got to say, I'm a bit disappointed by how healthy all of that eating was.
Some of it was, yeah.
I was hoping for a much, you know, a higher lipid content.
Only because I've run out of chocolate. James has hidden the chocolate in the house because asked him to, bless him. So he knows that when I need chocolate, he can provide it desperately, like it's there.
Okay.
But I don't get to access
it. So during the HBF workout, are you allowed to eat during that? Because you feel like you're at home?
Stop it. I'm gonna train hard. I did well last
James
week.
James just stands there with a tray of raw balls.
Rewards.
I did well last week and I want to do well at training tonight. Right, so I'll let you guys know how I do tomorrow. But if you are an HBF member, go to the classes because they've been good and they make me feel better when I do things like I did yesterday where I ate everything.
Yeah, you can follow Kimber's food blog. Oh, sorry, it's a normal blog, your exercise blog at mix.com.au.
And you can register for the classes. They're free at hbffitness.com.au.
Good luck.
Where are those burgers, though?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, have anyone checked the BHP share price this morning?
Oh, has it dropped slightly?
I don't know. I haven't noticed it. I don't think any of us have shares in that unless it's in our super. But BHP are, right now they're talking about losing potentially 3.8 million tonnes of production, depending upon how long its sort of railway operations are affected by this runaway train on Monday. So for 50 minutes, a driverless, basically a driverless carriage, or at least a driverless train, monster train, has gone over 92 kilometres for 50 minutes on Monday morning at speeds of 110 kilometres an hour on average.
I don't know if you've seen the footage or the photographs, but they are extraordinary.
Mind-blowing.
What is it, 260-odd carriages?
Something like that.
So this dude's just not, he's meant to be the train driver or stepped out of the train the train's gone without
him. He's
gone to do some checks, apparently.
He's gone to check something and he radios through to, I could well be wrong here, but I have heard that a person is on the train, but they're not actually doing much.
Yeah, I think the general control is from the city.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. So he's sort of, or he or she have said, hang on, I can hear something. Can you just stop the train?
Yeah.
He's got off, she's got off, and the train's gone without them.
See, it seems unusual that they can start the train without anyone on it, but they can't stop it.
Maybe he didn't tap off.
God, that might have been it.
And so,
it seems, I mean, you know, you think of all the things we send into space and all the things, we got driverless cars and we got all these things. There's no backup plan to stop a train.
Well, this is why they're worried.
Yeah, they had to derail the thing. Yeah, there's no way of slowing it down and stopping it, apparently.
But apparently there are more procedures that there's a dead man switch that the driver has to hit at intervals to make sure that, I'm still here and everything's going well.
Just to prove that he's on there and jumping off having a pee.
Yeah, it shouldn't have happened.
So it was so loaded up that, you know, and we talked earlier off air about the fact that there's, you know, big companies like this would have insurance to cover a lot of things.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of production that would be missed and insurance would not cover every single cent of what is lost.
And it just looks a mess now, doesn't it?
Oh, who's going to clean that up?
It's going to be a while.
Actually, it does look a bit like, space junk left behind on Mars or something, doesn't it? Because there's so much red dirt around.
Well, yes.
And twisted carriages.
It is. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's quite bizarre.
Okay. Well, there you go. Trains.
Will BHP even notice that amount of money missing?
No, it's loose change.
It's kind of I think we're losing $55 million a day, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah, give or take a dollar or two.
Did anyone see that $55 million I had in my pocket?
Shocking day at work for that bloke, though, isn't it? Local woman, I'm not sure.
Yeah, don't know. But what if he just got off for a have a wee?
Exactly.
And you're seeing the train go and you're running down the red dirt with your pants down by your ankles.
Right, but mate, if you're bursting, you're bursting.
You are. And some bloke with a joystick back in Perth going, that shouldn't be happening.
Houston, we have a problem.
I might try and download that.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Think quick, win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Let's apply some pressure to Melanie of Double View. Mel, welcome. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Melanie. Are you nursing a Melbourne Cup hangover at all today?
No. Work takes over.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Same for us.
Better responsible drinking. Well done, Melanie.
Well done, Melanie. Hey, welcome to the pressure test. We're going to give you a category. We're going to give you a time limit. You're going to need to give us a certain number of correct answers. For each one you get right, $10. But if you get all of them, Melanie, $250. You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, Melanie, we're going to put 20 seconds on the clock for you today. Yep. And your time's going to start as soon as I give you the category. We need you to list 5 items you'll find on a Japanese food menu. Go.
Teppanyaki, sushi, rice, teriyaki chicken,
keep going.
Quick.
What was that?
Soy sauce.
Oh, this is going to be a turn to the adjudicator because soy sauce is an item menu.
You see soy sauce on a menu?
I mean, teppanyaki, yes. Sushi, rice, teriyaki chicken.
I want teriyaki chicken right now.
Sauce. I think...
On a takeaway menu.
Melanie.
Means you have to say that you've had a win. Wow. That'd be fine.
Hey.
Gee. Oh, my goodness.
That was lucky.
The mixed lawyers are just having a conniption because a precedent has been set. Melanie, good on you. $250.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much.
I'd like the conniption on rice, actually. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Hey,
Mel, well done.
Thank you.
And it's fine. We don't adjudicate, so we don't take responsibility for this.
That's okay.
So, Melanie, congratulations. Enjoy your $250. You did well under pressure.
Thanks very much.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Who was the sexiest man alive in 1985? The first People's Magazine Sexiest Man Alive at 29 years of age.
So it wasn't Pierce Brosnan.
It wasn't. Okay. It was Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mel Gibson was the first one, but now British actor Idris Elba has been named People Magazine's 2018 Sexiest Man Alive.
Okay.
He's the 33rd man to hold the title, and he's going to be on this week's magazine cover. And, I mean, you might know Idris. He became famous in the States for his role of the drug kingpin Russell Stringer Bell on HBO's The Wire.
Yeah, great show.
And then Luther, the Thor movies, you know, it just goes on. He just became, you know, a bigger name. But when he learned of getting the title of being the sexiest man alive, he responded with, oh, come on, no way, really? He said, actually, his early days were far from sexy. He grew up tall and skinny at an all-boys school in London, and his name was Idrissa Akuna Elba. And so he got picked on a bit, but he said, as soon as I could grow a mustache, I was the coolest kid on the block.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Movember.
Right. He said, grew a mustache, got some muscles, it went bonkers.
Hard to believe he was a skinny dude ever.
Yeah.
He's built like a tank.
He's huge, isn't he?
Yeah. Good-looking dude, too.
Yeah, there you go. Idris Elba, sexiest man alive.
So there have been a couple of Aussies on the list. Mel Gibson in the 80s, and then I think Hugh Jackman about 15 years ago as well.
Oh, really?
At least
Hugh
a couple
Jackman?
Of Aussies.
I'm not having a crack at Hugh
I'm
Jackman.
I'm sure he was sexiest man alive
on
stage.
I'm absolutely certain he has been.
Along with your Brad Pitts and Georges.
I mean,
and
he's a handsome chap.
Yeah.
He was up there. he just doesn't do it for me. Anyway, move on.
Well, it turns out, guys, Michael Jackson was not just the king of pop.
Mm.
It turns out he's a different kind of artist.
Yeah.
He's an impressive sketcher.
Really?
Yeah, he was doing sketching. He made more than 30 drawings of himself, with one showcasing the pains of growing up and a couple there that included his three sisters.
Right.
And these are never-before-seen self-portraits, and they date back to his career in the 80s.
No one's buying the LaToya one.
No, they're not. Well, look, they were gifted, actually, to his plastic surgeon at the time.
Oh, that bloke. He's not a big family favourite, is he?
No, that was his doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this was his plastic surgeon.
He's a bit
in
on the nose, the surgeon. Oh.
This is Dr. Stephen Hofland. Clancy. They're going to be auctioned off, these sketches, on November 9.
Yep.
And each drawing is expected to sell for $11,000.
Yeah.
And
wow. I can imagine when you're in the oxygen tent, and you're going, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'll draw.
Do some drawings. Yeah.
It's a pretty good artist in music too, aren't they? Ron Wood from the Stones is pretty impressive. And Paul Stanley from Kiss, they've got art talent, art skills.
Well, this same auction house sold Jacko's white glove for $480,000.
Right.
So they're probably going to get a bit. Yeah. And, Michael Jackson's recently been named as the highest earning dead celebrity of 2018.
He'd be wrapped.
Ahead of Elvis Presley and golfer Arnold Palmer.
Oh, that's incredible.
Big money.
Yeah, the legacy goes on.
Yep. And guys, Dr. Evil returns. Mike Myers has reprised his role of Dr. Evil on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon just to announce his plans to run for Congress.
So are you running as a Democrat or a Republican?
Neither. I'm running as an evil-tarian. Our ultimate goal is to make America evil again.
Do you even need to get back into power to make America evil?
No.
Don't think so. Job's done, mate.
Evil Tarian. I want the hat. Is it a red hat? I don't know.
Yeah. That's your daily juice. Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, don't know if you saw this in the news. Did you hear about the guy who nearly drowned in a bowl of muesli?
No.
Yeah, he was pulled under by a strong current.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds Style Up for Spring Sale. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.